Yes, this is one of the topics where we changed the title a little bit. Start with also my colleague, Francis Ogunaya, has talked about the importance of Weekly Siuwana. Because my topic deals with North Africa, and North Africa is an integral part of Siuwana. One thing is common is talking about when you there, you have to talk about wheat production and the importance of wheat production, since the region as a whole is basically a major consumer for wheat. Specifically in North Africa, I am addressing the issue of these countries, Algeria, Libya, Morocco, and Tunisia, and the linkage between them in breeding for kissing fly. If you could see, self-sufficiency is a serious problem in terms of wheat production, ranges from 12% to at best 48%, this 83%, that was a good season. Generally, you are talking about 50-60% imports for the country's need across the board. Basically, the area, there is the main constraint would be many biotic stresses and abiotic. Abiotic is the major one. Fluctuation of rainfall is a major factor playing this problem of inconsistency of production. And after all, the problem is compounded by the fact that population growth is very high. These countries depend on 70% of their calorie is from wheat, and in certain areas up to 45% of their protein need comes from wheat as well. So it is a serious problem there. Here, when you talk about real wheat production, it is very strongly linked with not only food security, it is linked with national security. What are the major constraints? I mentioned some of them. Francis put them all. I really want to change. In the last 3 years, rust. I thought this is the time I'm going to change. I think we need to address something else. This is the rust of North Africa. This is a very serious problem. It's the issue of fish and fly. Without it, frankly, it's difficult to grow in Morocco in particular. Same goes for Tunisia and part of Tunisia as well as Algeria. If infection occurs early in the season, practically you lose your crop. This is what our nurseries from the international nurseries look like in the 80s, like mid-80s onwards. Since then, the picture has changed. That's what I will be addressing. So far, there are a number of varieties in the release, and some of them are in the pipeline. And host plant resistance is a major component to combat the issue of hissing fly. And by the way, the problem is not only in North Africa. There is strong linkage with Southern Europe, Spain, Portugal, part of France. They have the same problem. And collaborative research is going between North Africa and Southern Europe in this area. How do we do it? Well, it's part of our general breeding program where we address a well-targeted crossing program, but we emphasize in that one broadening the genetic base to avoid those problems associated with vulnerability. Basically, we utilize the main different sources of resistance as we can, but will be based on the adapted cultivars from the region. The hallmark of the major cultivars, we intercross those with the sources of resistance. We do utilize land races and the wealth of genetic resources in the area. Siuwana is the center of origin of so many crops, and particularly the origin of wheat, and we are blessed with that. And Ricardo has a comparative advantage to utilize that one. And particularly when it comes to the collection of wheat relatives, Aegilops in particular, Triticum, you will, and it is and Durham, you will find that they have the number one collection. So there is a wealth there that could be utilized, and we are utilizing that successfully, screening that. I think also we are pleased with the fact that we have a strong entomology program at ICARBA that helped us screen so many of the wheat relatives. But on doing so, it's not only concentrating on one problem, because you for to make a successful cultivar, you have to address all the problems associated in that particular area. In this case, even for insects, we look for multiple pest resistance. Very common to have hissing fly as well as wheat stem fly in one area, particularly in North Africa. In West Asia, you'll find both. So we do look for multiple pest resistance as well as multiple disease resistance. We're utilizing the relatives, particularly the Aegilops, and in this case, Triticum tarsii, our direct utilization is through the development of synthetics and utilization of synthetic derivatives. This area where we have done a lot of screening, and we find the gold mine in this, in addition to hissing fly, for other biotic stresses and abiotic stresses. And now, on dealing with a hissing fly, in this area cover both crops, durum wheat and breadwheat. We really look into what kind of genetic resources we have, what kind of genes we have, and the location of these genes. It is an unwritten agreement between us with my colleague, the Durham breeder, Dr. Nasheed. I tend to utilize sources of the D genome, and he utilizes seeds in the A and B genome. We are eyeing that to avoid vulnerability. Because if we continue using the same genes and we are talking about covering a huge area with the same, we are setting ourselves in a problem. A strong feature of this breeding program we are doing there is what we call partnership and networking. This goes across network for rust, and that involves, in fact, not only rust, just we could say network for abiotic diseases, fungi, and so on. When it comes to hissing fly, a unique part of it is this: the strongest program in the region is the Moroccan program. And in this case, the responsibility is delegated. The national program will lead the research in that area. And that brings a very fruitful collaboration, as we are going to show some of the results now. So this partnership is an excellent model. We bring all the stakeholders, and it is working. To do that, for screening, for hissing fly, we do both field as well as in the greenhouse. That is done with the both strong entomology programs at ICARBA headquarters as well as at SATAC within Morocco. Now, there, we emphasize, in fact, the GM plus will be shuttled back to ICARBA, so they will be shuttling on and forth from, in fact, we start from F4 onwards, going back to them, selected under those conditions. The selection in the field is confirmed by the selections or the evaluation in the plastic house under the control conditions. Because many times you might get some escapes in the field, but in the plastic house, you confirm what you got. Now, we also look for that kind of screening because, in fact, we're trying to harness, if possible, resistance across multiple pathotypes or biotypes. As you all know, there are several biotypes of hissing fly. And it so happened that the biotype in Syria is one of the most virulent biotypes, as you could see from here. In Morocco, all these F5, hissing fly 5, 11 up to 26 in this chart are resistant in Morocco. But in Syria, only H-25 and H-26 are resistant or survive in Syria. Kazakhstan is very strong, where but still H-13 is holding there. And generally, if you use the L-by-by from U.S., most of the materials survive. We do test with several of those biotypes, and it helps us to get the most effective genes available. Now, as you said, screening the plastic house, that follows with screening in the field. And in the field, we really depend on year after year his fertilizer in Morocco. So the best place to screen for is in field screen in Morocco, but we combine that one, as I said, we are looking for multiple disease as well as pest resistance. So if we look for other diseases in the region and we look for other abiotic stresses like drought is one of the major hindrance to production of wheat in North Africa is drought. So you will combine all of these factors together under field conditions. In certain diseases, we find that, yes, Morocco links very well with parts of, say, East Africa for septoria and other things like that. But in general, field screening as well as a greenhouse screening are carried, and populations are developed and shuttled between Tel El-Hadia and Morocco. Final screening will be done on a wider, in terms of a screening nursery, in a wider base across all the countries involved. Now, some of the results. Based on this, here I'm showing just some of the trials conducted in Morocco of last season. And here we are comparing some of the top yielders with the local check, which is, it has a local adaptation as well as resistance. But you will see that you could get up to 37% higher yielding cultivars than the local check. And we are utilizing here as well known grown cultivars which are hissifly for quite some time in Morocco. That is Saada, one of the fairest produced there, Rehan, and Agila. This is, if you notice, this is in a favorable environment of a mean yield of around 5.5 tons. But the same story goes if you go to a site which is dry site with a mean yield of 270. A number of cultivars coming through this program combined high yield as well as the resistance to hissing fly, but most importantly also in that part of the world, quality is important, and listing here a number of hissing fly resistant lines with good quality, good bread making quality, because recently there is food security is a major constraint. Filling the stomach has been the talk for a number of years, and now look like they approach a certain plateau or a certain part, and now they're talking about quality. So combining quality is important, and here I'm sharing with you some of the lines we have in the pipeline that are of good quality. Well, my colleague talked about the UG99. As I said, I did not want to talk about UG99, but I must let you know that, yes, many of these lines that are hissing fly resistant also get screened for UG99 resistance in East Africa, and a number of them are combining resistance. In fact, three derivatives of these are going to be released in Ethiopia. So, to summarize, I think great progress has been made in hissing fly is a work that started in the 80s. Most important, as you could say, there are a number of cultivars are in the pipeline now in the region, But to me, the main issue is this success would not have come without the collaboration of all those stakeholders, and particularly the national program that took the lead on helping the whole region, and as well as the spillover to other parts of the world. To conclude, I think I will say I would like to thank, I'm representing this on behalf of so many people. I would like just to thank the program in Morocco, the program, of course, at Syria, but these programs are linked with other programs in East Africa, like the program in Ethiopia and Kenya, that help us identify the linkage with UG99.